Hey guys, welcome to Running Highs and Community Ties, the official podcast for Hills for ATL. I am Lindsay Sizemore, and I'm super excited about our guest that we have tonight with us. We're going to dive into his story. We have Dexter here with us. He is quite the athlete. He's also got a very inspiring story, and I just can't wait to get to know you a little bit tonight. So Dexter, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'll let you introduce yourself just to get started.
My name is Dexter Jackson. I'm 37 years old. I have two beautiful girls, 8 and 4 years old. I'm from Decatur, Georgia. I reside now in Sandy Springs.
Nice. I actually live in Decatur right now. I feel like I just sleep there, but for the most part, I love it. There's a lot of things to do out there. And so how long have you been in Atlanta? You're just your whole life? Have you always been here?
I bounced around a little bit from, college to pro ball to football, and came back in like 2013.
Okay.
I've been here since then.
Nice. Okay. So I heard a lot of things in that last statement. Pro ball, athlete. We're going to get into that. Have you always been into sports?
Yes, I have. Growing up, since I was like 4 or 5 years old, baseball was actually my first love.
Really?
My mom had surgery when I was like 9, and my stepfather couldn't take us to a lot of practices. So my mom was like, I'm sorry, but I have to get this procedure done, and you guys won't be able to play any, structured sports for rec until we got to middle school. So that's when I took up football in 8th grade. After that, it was baseball and football throughout my high school career.
What was your favorite part about it?
I would say just really being around my friends, the practices, being silly,
Yeah.
And just really competing and growing up with a tight-knit group of friends.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was the same way. Like, there's something about those practices. I loved practice. I loved having something to do as soon as school ended because, nobody really wants to be at school. I just wanted to go play. I wanted to practice, and then the teamwork and the camaraderie and then the coaches and all of that really plays a part, I guess, in our lives as we grow up as well. Okay, so baseball, it was your love. You got into football. Okay, so did you just go straight from high school into college, or how did you get into this pro sports?
8th grade, I've always, kids of today will never understand, playing out with the street lights come on and mom saying you better be in for the street lights catch. Yeah. So just really playing a lot of pick up, throw them up, tackle football in the street. And, just basically doing organized ball in 8th grade, enjoyed that. And did it going into 9th grade year at Dunwoody High School out in Dunwoody, Georgia. Did that and did pretty well. And schools came knocking and took the opportunity to play football at Appalachian State University.
I feel like you're being humble here pretty well. I think you must have been pretty good. What positions were you playing?
I played a wide receiver.
Okay.
Punt returner, kick returner. At the time, I didn't really know how good I was because going into 9th grade, I was 5'6", 150 maybe.
Yeah.
So I was one of the shorter guys in my grade. Had an older brother that was 2 grade levels older than me, and everyone looked at me as, you're Derek's little brother. Mm-hmm. So I think that really inspired me and pushed me throughout my high school career to just, try to, silence the doubts and the haters and the comparisons of, my big brother, he pushes me to be successful. So I think
that's awesome.
Pushed me to where I am today.
So. That's awesome. So your brother was a role model of yours.
Correct.
And that's cool because you guys can share, experiences. And he's 2 years older, you said?
He was 2 grade levels
two,
older.
Okay,
so
2 grade
levels. I was 9, he was 11.
Okay.
He's 3 years older.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I have 5 sisters, but... growing up, there was 3 of us in high school at the same time, and so we were almost all on the same team at one point. It was fun, so I can definitely relate a little bit to having a family in the same ages and things like that. And so, you can do anything when you leave high school and you're playing sports, and you just kind of are you the type of athlete that just knew this is what you wanted to do with your life. And so you said you got into what, Appalachian State?
Yes.
Okay. Was that scary where you're like, okay, this is getting real. I'm going to play sports.
Yeah. On my visit, you know, it was snowing. I went in like January and I was like 4.5 to 5 hours away from Atlanta. Got there on my visit, different guys from all over the U.S. And, you know, I had a lot of guys I looked up to from what they did that previous season with them having an I formation based offense. And in high school, I was in a wing tee for 2 years. So they were changing from a spread offense with 4 or 5 receivers. And since I played receiver, the head coach was like, hey, you can come here and play early. So I was afraid that I would, you know, try to talk to girls on campus and not really be locked in. So I wanted to go somewhere where I would have structure right when I got on campus, from advisors to coaches, father figures, mentors, stuff like that.
So you knew pretty early on that you needed this structure. You were self-aware enough to say, hey, I know I'm a guy. I know I'm a young guy, and I'm going into this new world, which is very exciting, but I know that sports right now is going to be my focus, and so I'm gonna choose to have more of a structured situation right now and really give it all I got.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Not a lot of people are not like self-aware in that way at that time. I definitely wasn't. But that's awesome. Okay, so you went and played pro sports, and now how am I allowed to say, how old are you now?
I'm 37.
Okay, yeah, okay, we're around the same age, 36. And so it seems like this has been in your sports has been in your life this entire time.
Yes.
You know, so when did you stop doing pro sports?
I tore my ACL in Canada back in 2013, and I ended up going back to school.
What part of Canada, and why were you in Canada?
Well, I was trying to get more film to get, you know, some more looks to get back into the NFL. So I was bouncing around a little bit after like 3 years. So I went up there to just try to get more film, play, get back in shape. Because at the time I was just working little odd jobs here and there.
Yeah.
Then I ended up, after I tore my ACL, reached back to App State, asked them could I, you know, finish up the semester I left to go to the NFL Combine. So in 2007, I was invited to go to the NFL Combine for 2008. Since I finally did pretty good throughout my time at App State, 4 years, I got invited, selected to go. So I had to go down to Florida, sign with the agent, got sent to Florida for 3 months to work on speed, agility, strength, conditioning, nutrition. I mean, it was wake up, eat, work out, run, do it all and repeat again. So I ended up doing that, went back to school because I left a semester early, went back, graduated. So that was one of the highest accomplishments that I was able to achieve.
That is an amazing chapter, you know, in your life. And I'm curious because, like, I always wanted to, like, go off and just lock in and focus and do that and just train all day. And I probably want it now more than ever, just because I'm probably more into fitness and challenging myself than ever before right now in life. So what was probably your favorite part of training? I know you're getting up and you're practicing speed and you have a coach and you have like this level of respect for the sport. And so it's kind of like, something that you have to just, you're locked in, you're focused, you want to become the best you can, but, clearly it's something you love. Right? Love it. So what was maybe like a highlight of these, those months that you were down there just training down in Florida?
I worked with a guy named Pete Bomarito. At the time he was out of Perfect Competition. Now he has his own, I want to say Bomarito Sports Performance is his own company down in Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So just to kind of see the way that he approached us. I mean, he had like 30 guys and it was just him and maybe two other assistants. So, you know, to kind of see how he had everything structured, his plan, his programming. And the way that we would just come in, we knew we had our protein shakes, and we would do our flush workouts, we would stretch, we would hit the weight room, and we would hit cryotherapy type stuff.
Yes.
Just the way that he approached every single thing, and the way that we made our gains, and he pushed us, you know, once we went to the combine to excel at a high level, you know, for 12 weeks, working with him was awesome.
That sounds like a just like a lifetime of experience, like that you just, you know, that you are like, I mean, there's people that dream to be able to experience something like that. And I can see very easily how, you know, watching this coach push you like this, being prepared and having this kind of like layout and training, like regimen that you guys did, how it really led you into the things that you're doing today, right?
Of course.
So not only are you an athlete out there pushing it, following the coach's orders, and but you're learning this entire time, you know, of amazing coaching techniques and methods and how to be prepared and all these things. And so you're 37 and you just haven't let this thing go, right? So you have now started to become, and I think this is from the people that talk about you that I know, our mutual friends. I mean, this is a huge identity of yours now, right? So tell me a little bit about this coaching thing that you are now doing. Like, now you are that coach. So tell me what that looks like for you.
Well, in 2016, I started my own company where I got certified as a speed and agility coach. And then I got into actual coaching football, soccer, and track a few years ago, and branched off to one of the top private schools in the state of Georgia, really in the country, in Brookhaven, the Marist School. So that's where I am now.
What ages are we? What kind of school is this?
It's 7th to 12th grade.
Okay.
Boys and girls. I'm sure I have over like 17 different sports between the boys and girls clubs. About 1,000 kids in the school. And I just wanted to kind of find a good program to just kind of be ingrained, mentor, mold, push, inspire.
Yes.
Student athletes.
And what a perfect age to be a role model, especially in this day and age, you know? I know growing up, my coaches were the only role models I really had in my life. And I mean, even for me, like going to homecoming and all that stuff, my coaches were the ones that walked me, you know, down homecoming. I mean, they were just such a constant in my life. And so I say that because, you know, these kids are growing up and this is probably like the highlight of their lives, you know, and they're still in those formative years and they have dreams and aspirations and to be able, we talk about this all the time, but like to, you know, look at fitness and then to look at how closely related they are to other goals in all areas of life. And here you are getting to be like this role model and this coach. And you get to come in and coach them and inspire them to be all that they can be at these ages. I still remember my coaches and everything that they pushed me to do at that age. And now you get to be that very person for those kids. How many people are on these teams that you're working with?
The entire football program, if you think like about the sports performance side of what I get to do is, for instance, with football, they have a 7th grade football team, an 8th grade, a 9th grade, a JV, and a varsity.
Mm-hmm.
I get to be a instrumental value, a piece to what's going to push them on the football field with their conditional, their speed, their agility, the weight room stuff. So I get to oversee maybe over 150 athletes every single time I can get on the turf with them.
Yes.
When they're not doing, you know, when they're not involved with lacrosse, baseball, track, you know, during football season, I'm taking care of over 150 athletes at the school. And me being a former football player as well, it's just awesome to be able to motivate them at a young age on the field and also push them, you know, when they're actually doing sports-specific drills with a receiver rather than just running, teaching them route running, blocking schemes, passing plays, the playbook. So it's just a lot that comes with everything that I get to do. That's exciting.
Listen, your whole face just lit up just as you're talking about this, because it's just like you can clearly see that this is like such a passion and you're using your life to really impact other people. And you said like on and off the field, right? And so, yes, you're doing your drills and your training, but I know for a fact these kids can come up to you and they can count on me for other things in life too, you know, just because you're there. Because when I respected my coaches, it's like I could still call them when I was having a bad day, you know, or maybe when I couldn't get through to my parents, I might want to like actually talk to my coach, you know. And so is there anything that stands out, like a highlight of maybe a kid or something that you experienced that, was just like a wow moment that you had?
I want to say last year, our football game, we got a kid named Charlie Lamb. One of our top receivers got hurt in the playoff game. He comes in, catches like a 40, 50 yard ball. And the whole sideline was like, it was Coach DJX. You know, it was your training, it was your coaching, you know, the drills that we do, and just the confidence you built in so many guys that could only what be the face of our team or the position, you know, for me to speak life and confidence into them day-to-day practices, for them to make a big catch in a big moment. And for other people to just say, hey, that's what you put ingrained in him was awesome to hear that.
So. Yeah. And that just reminded me also, you know, in those moments in the games where it's just like you look at the people to the next year, like, did this just happen? Did you see that? Oh, my God, you know? And it's like, it's so exciting to be able to celebrate that, you know, with each other as a team. And I know that there's been probably so many of those moments that you've had. And just being able to lay your head down at night and after, like, the game's done and everybody's kind of died down, you know, as a person, as like a human being, it's like, it's gotta feel so good, you know, just to lay your head down and say that you contributed to whatever, the win or whatever lesson that just took place. So I think that that's amazing. And I can definitely see how you're naturally like aligned, you know, from being an athlete and now, you know, coaching and impacting lives on a daily basis. And so I want to kind of move a little bit of the conversation to how did you get involved with, you're clearly a staple here in Atlanta and in the sports realm, but tell me about how you even heard about Hills for ATL. Okay. How did that happen?
Just a lot of, you know, I have some close friends in the group, but also just like the social media. Just the movement that I've seen, just so many people post. I'm like, what is this thing? Like, what are people going to do? Like, meet us here, we're running hills, playing music. You know, people are doing broad jumps, you know, bear crawling, you know, doing all these sprints. It with me having this sports performance background, like, I think this would be an awesome event to be around, something that I can kind of like see myself carry along, pushing myself. Most people think about self-care as relax, massage, but I view it as a time to just kind of network, you know, utilize resources, inspire others, because I'm being inspired by being something.
Yes.
Just kind of fit in, and I think that's a great standard to be around.
So you saw it, everybody's talking about it, it's kind of hard not to see it, it's growing so fast on social media, and you know, I tell people all the time, we don't even need social media to grow this, because it is that attractive. People are so pumped and they feel so good, and then the energy's good and there's such diversity. It just kind of like grows itself, you know? And I think you and I are actually kind of alike when it comes to, like, you know, we're really into, like, you know, sports and being athletic. And so it really, for me, it was definitely a challenge for me at the beginning, for sure. But it's become more of like just obviously a good addition to the things that I'm currently doing, you know, when I'm training and working out. But it's become this more of the camaraderie, you know, it's becoming more of like a way for me to like be socially connected to new people and new faces and this good energy. And it's fun to kind of just, it feels like, you know, that energy when, I don't know if you've ever done any races before, but like when you show up at the races and you got like everybody's just pumped and that kind of thing, you don't know anybody at the races either, but you know, something's about to go down. And so, you know, of course, there's some nerves at first because you don't know, you know, how fast your heart's about to beat as you do those bear crawls and burpees up a hill. But, you know, it is kind of cool that you're like, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot, see what this is all about. Tell me what your first experience was. I mean, what do you think about it?
Well, I mean, walking up, you know, just seeing all those people out there. Groups are already starting going. I was like kind of overwhelmed. Just kind of like, wow, the people are really out here. They're competing, they're pushing each other.
Yeah.
Some guys are talking smack, but motivating each other. And then I hopped in and, you know, tried to, from there, just see where my fitness level was and try to compete a little bit. Got called out by a few guys doing water breaks, but it was awesome. You know, we got some naps and fist bumps.
Exactly.
And I thought it was really something that I definitely was going to come back to. Like, I was excited to be there.
So you felt welcomed, you know. It didn't matter if we knew each other, you felt welcomed. You know, the energy was high. And then I actually went out for smoothies afterwards. That was fun, you know, just a little bit of the after party after Hill. So, hey, these things are happening and it's just connecting, just amazing people together. And I had heard pieces of your story back then. So I was just so excited to just have you here with us, on the podcast as well. And so now I want to ask you, what does your self-care routine look like? I know that it all is different for most people. And I know that you're pretty active and you're, obviously giving back and that in a way fills you up. But what else do you do to take care of yourself? Like, what is a priority, in your life that you need in order to, really take care of you?
See, I've been really big on, for me, I'll write poetry sometimes. I wrote every single day in college. I kind of got deterred away from it a little bit once my dad lost my shoebox, once I moved back to Atlanta. So I kind of got away from that. But for me, I would say just more so of just worshiping certain music when I get up, that inspire me to just push other people and kind of accomplish my daily routine based off my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Since I do a lot of stuff, as an entrepreneur, even though I do a lot of after school stuff at the school as a community coach, with coaching and speed training, I would just say mainly for me is being able to, do my schedule, get my workouts in, and just kind of see how I can impact other people and make the most of my time, shop them.
Yeah.
And that's basically my self-care, just pushing other people. If I'm doing that, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having a schedule is so important. It's for me, my calendar is my Bible in a sense. It needs to go on the calendar. When I lay down and I need to kind of know what my next day looks like, or I'm not going to be able to accomplish everything with as much ease as possible, and I want to accomplish things. So therefore I have to make sure that that schedule is intact. And it sounds like, it sounds like you take care of yourself overall, health wise. And it sounds like you feed your mind, music and, motivation. And that way you can turn around and literally do that in any room that you walk in. and I think that that's incredible. So we, as people, have all these good days and we're talking about these good moments, but we also get tired, right? We also face challenges and then life can throw us curveballs and things like that. And I think that, it's kind of part of it. It's part of this journey, right? And it's part of how we, overcome those challenges that we keep on inspiring other people. Because I think that if anything is actually what brings us together too, is because we all, kind of face different things at different times. And so, tell me about a challenge that, you're proud of that maybe you have overcome. Yeah. I think that, you've said a lot about being a pro athlete and then having to start businesses. Is there any challenge that you've had that you've overcome and how to do it?
I'll probably say transitioning from just football into the real world. I would say, that's something I was doing for, since I was 8, 9 years old. I think I clocked out at 26, 27. So, 15, 16, 17 years of my life, I was dedicated to structure already being there for me from father figures, mentors, practice schedules, recovery routines, weight training programs, nutrition, so everything was just laid out for me for so long. Now here I am. I'm now from the passenger seat in the driver's seat now, and just where do I go? What's the next thing for me? Where's my purpose? What do I want to pursue? So I just feel like those things are what's the biggest challenge for me to really find my identity while I'm still trying to. Every day I look at myself in the mirror, but who am I trying to become? And how I'm going to make myself happy. So I would say that was the biggest challenge to where I am now, to see what I had to get through back then to get to where I am today. So.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing is we all have so many different versions of ourselves. And sometimes we get our identity is just for so long. It's just this one thing. We're known as just this. But now, as we move through life and as we continue to impact other people's lives, we find that we have these different versions of ourselves. You know, you're a businessman, you're a coach, you're a father. You have these other versions of yourself that's more than just that pro athlete. It's more than that kid in high school, you know, playing sports and going to practice. And it sounds like you're really starting to tap in and find that part of you. And it also sounds like, you know, you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're like, you know what, Dexter, who am I? You know, is this aligned with who I am? Is this going to be, you know, is this where I want to go today, you know, in my thoughts or in my moves, you know? And so I think like, you know, I think that self-reflection and taking inventory like that of yourself is just like, I think it's truly like the road to success. Like that is what it takes, you know, on a regular basis, because we're constantly evolving and changing. And I'm really glad that you were vulnerable enough to say that, because being a pro athlete, there's a ton of athletes that, you know, maybe don't open up as much about, hey, it's a little weird to go from having this identity to now having to make it in the real world where I have to make my own schedule and have to have my own recovery regimen, you know? And I'm just thinking, as you're saying all that stuff, how much wisdom and experience you actually could give all of us when it comes to recovery. I know I personally need to know how to recover fast so I can keep on going, and I don't want to lose momentum. So any advice, if you have time later, you should definitely share that with me and other people. And so now I just want to talk a little bit about your family and like, your community. Like how they play, how that plays a role in supporting who you are. And so I think, did your mom raise you, or tell me a little bit about your upbringing when it comes to like your role models, and what that looked like for you.
My mom pretty much raised me and my older brother.
Is it, you just have one brother?
So I have three brothers total, like two sisters.
Okay.
But I only have one older sibling.
Gotcha.
My mom, she basically raised me and my older brother. Everyone else, we had the same father, different moms. Daddy was just a rolling stone, so
gotcha.
You know. But yes, my mom was really a big time pillar for us. Me just seeing her go to work, still make our practices, make our games, get us where we need to get to on time. Show love, show out for us was awesome. And you know, I tell my dad today, we have a great relationship now, and I tell people a lot of times, you know, certain people's failures that were close to us really helped pave the way for us to be successful in our own eyes, because my dad not being there every single day or every other weekend when it was his time to pick us up has propelled me to be the best father I could be for my girls, to be present, to be vocal, and to honestly want to take the time out to do whatever they want to do and enjoy that arena that I'm in with that atmosphere, but I haven't. So, and just seeing what my mom has done has been awesome, just to kind of reflect on, you know, the resentment I had towards her a little bit from, for instance, with custody issues of, you know, people having their dad on one weekend, getting them the other weekend. And, you know, some weekends he didn't want to come pick us up, and I'm like, Mom, could you take us to our dads? It's like, no, you need to be a man.
Yeah.
You need to be a father. And I'm like, come on, Mom. Like, just take us. So just, you know, it took us to get to high school where we're like, look, you know, our dad has to be a man, a father, grow up, make time for us. And Mom has always done that, been there for us. You know, after that, once we got mature enough that we could understand the dynamic that back then, you know, that wasn't a reflection of us, you know, things just don't work out. So,
yeah.
You know, my mom has always been there. While my dad has really, the failures that he's had and shown me that I've had to go through, you know, my pain and struggles without fully having my dad around because of stepfather. They're around, but there's nothing like your own DNA investing in you.
Right.
So, you know, I tell my dad, you know, the things that you didn't know, the things that you didn't do propelled me to do that in my life for my kids, for other athletes, for other people, has made me a better person. So.
And you guys are closer today now.
Yes.
That's
awesome.
You know, and you just said so many pieces of wisdom just in sharing that. And, you know, we as children, we don't have the capacity to really understand, you know, why can't I just go over there? Why can't they just be here? Where are they gone? And it sounds like, you know, as we've gotten older, things become so much more clear. and we have a little bit more compassion of what was going on. And they're just, they're your father, but they're human as well. And then how, when you go without something, a certain level of support or something like that, how that actually plants a seed inside of you to where you know exactly what you needed, and now you're going to be able to give that in your own life. And I think that that's amazing, because you said you had two daughters, right? What are their names?
Alana, she's 8, and Mama, she's 4.
Oh my God. Okay, so that's a fun age. And I know that they probably look at you like their little hero, right? Are they into sports too?
They're into sports right now. Since female athletes have like a 6 times likely to tear ACL, I've been just doing a lot of injury prevention.
Wow.
At a very young age. So we've just been doing a lot of like band work, strengthening their lower extremities and just motor skills. So a lot of younger athletes, when you see them out in the gym playing basketball, they collide with each other because they don't know how to stop and decel and accelerate and move out of the way. So I've just been trying to teach them how to avoid, and it's just that self-awareness and just, you know, be safe when they're out competing. So.
Yeah. What sports are they playing?
They're doing soccer right now. Okay. Just training with, you know, speed, agility, and stuff like that.
So. How cool. That's a cool dad to have, you know? What's your favorite thing to do with them?
Work.
I know that you have sports and stuff, but what's one thing you just, you know, you just enjoy, and it could be a small thing, you know?
I would probably say art. You know, Melody loves to draw color.
Okay.
So I would say, like, we'll look at a picture and we'll sit down and draw it almost like a canvas.
Yeah.
But just that quality time of, like, even matching card games.
Yep.
I never win those, by the way.
And so your mom's got to be super proud, and she's now a grandma.
Yes.
And, you know, there's just nothing like a mother's love and support, especially as she raised you guys. And I truly think that that was instilled at an early age as well, just to, like, you know, just to, like, be there and not give up and just, you know, support your kids. And it's just, it sounds like you have an incredible mom too. And so as we wrap up this podcast, there's a couple things that I want to hear from you. Clearly your daughters are your why, you know, you're the kids at the schools that you're coaching. They're looking up to you. You're a leader. You know, you really do have, your why, like why you push yourself, why you want to better yourself. And so as we're constantly bettering ourselves, you know, we're all kind of like running towards something. We have some sort of goal, even if it's small or something like that. There's something that athletes, people like you and me, you know, there's something that we're working towards. And so what are you running towards right now? Where do you see yourself, you know, or what do you see yourself doing, you know, in the next little bit? Do you have any sort of goals? It could be growing your business or just in family.
I want to drop a few jabs.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. I need to hear it.
I've done a lot of research on just, you know, mainly minority male trainers working with female athletes. You don't see a lot of take out a lot of time to, as they do with Atlanta, so saturated with so many trainers that are working on building up our male athletes. You would be happy in a girl dad. You know, I've really been inspired to really help our females get the top knowledge, science, resources to just, you know, level the playing field. Within the next 3 to 5 years, I would love to be a head football coach of a private school, or be a head director with another big time, whether it's a soccer academy, and have all my training adaptations, my programs, where yes. Athletes, when they look to better, whether it's strength, conditioning, speed, and agility, I want them to come to wherever I am and just know that all the work and time, blood, sweat, and tears I put in through the book, going to different gyms, you know, traveling the world, learning some different cultures, that I really care about them. I'm going to always look at their safety first, nutrition, physical, you know, dynamic of where they're trying to go and pushing to where the heights it out, but been able to accomplish, you know, because when I played, we didn't have personal trainers were big in 2000, in 2001, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a my receivers coach, for instance, was a carpenter. You know, he didn't play at a high level college, or he wasn't a pro guy. So I feel like the things that I have in my toolbox can really propel an average player to be really good to be elite, to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Just taking that time out to really dissect that and identify, you know, your strengths, and can really help a lot of people as well as your investing in you.
So, wow.
Yes, I see it. I see you as this head coach. I see you just continuing to pour into people's lives. I continue to see you lifting up those women athletes, and I can see you. I got your two girls in my head right now, and I'm just like watching them grow into these strong women. And you're just going to be, a major player in that, you know? And so I wouldn't have known any of this had we not had this podcast. And so I'm just so grateful that we could dive into who you are. And you know, one of the reasons that we do this podcast is so, people from Hillsboro ATL or people from Atlanta, you know, when we see you out there on that hill, we're going to know you a little bit more. We're going to be able to say, hey, we support you in that. And hey, let's check out some of your training. And I think that that's what it's all about. It's all about community and connection. And I think you've been absolutely amazing, and I definitely want to bring you back on the podcast, and we'll do it again. But thank you so much for being here with us. And guys, remember, we have Hills for ATL going on every Wednesday. We do it in the morning at 7:30 in the morning. If you're a morning person, you get to see the sunrise. It's really beautiful, and it's not so hot. And then we also are going to be back out there about 6:30 p.m. You get to see the sunset together. And definitely bring water. It is going to definitely be getting hotter as the year goes on. But thanks again for being with us, and we'll be ready for next time. See you soon. Thanks.